Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." On earth, peace to men. So it's all a con. It doesn't work. Christmas, just a big con. Oh, we all know it's an annual rip-off. You know, cards and wrapping paper sold at extortionate prices, advertising convincing us that Christmas just won't be Christmas unless we buy the Radio Times. Chocolates and nuts, more expensive just because of the festive packaging. Oh, I better stop. Don't get me wrong, I'm not Ebenezer Scrooge. I like all that stuff. I don't mind being ripped off once a year. I love Christmas, eating gargantuan amounts of food, playing tiddlywinks with the family, Cliff at number one. I love Christmas. I don't even mind the big credit card bill in January. Now, that's not the con. It's the angel's words. On earth, peace to men. Doesn't work, does it? We've just been singing. 2,000 years have gone by, and where's this peace they announced? Oh, sure, Christmas Day may see a token ceasefire across the world, but if I was a betting man, I'd wager that the year 2000 will see as much fighting and as many wars as 1999. But the world isn't getting better. It's getting worse. Since 1945, the end of the last World War, not one week has gone by where there's not been a war somewhere in the world. And let's not kid ourselves, entering the new millennium won't change anything. So what's all this about peace to men? Are these angels on another planet? Are the angels part of a never-never land? You know, a world of make-believe that includes baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the donkey, and the shepherds. Oh, definitely the shepherds. After all, it was the shepherds who supposedly saw the angels in the first place. What were these shepherds thinking? Come to that, what were they drinking? Yeah, on that cold Palestinian hillside, had they discovered magic mushrooms for the first time? See, can we trust these shepherds? Can we believe the angels' announcement? Or is this just like the rest of Christmas? You know, we know we're being conned, but we don't mind. It's a good excuse for parties, a few days off work, seeing the family, getting the beers in, something to look forward to for a change. My wife and I went to a Disney World a couple of years ago. It was November 2 years ago. We had terrific fun. If you've never been and you've got a bit of spare cash, go along. Leave the children at home. It's much better on your own. Meeting Mickey and Donald Duck, riding the Tower of Terror. That's bizarre. We actually paid to be scared witless, but still, that's what you do when you go to Disney World. Now, we knew it wasn't true, but we had a great time. We entered into the spirit of it all. Disney is a million miles from reality. But it never hurt anyone to pretend for a while. Indeed, it did us a lot of good. We came back refreshed. Is that like Christmas? Now, that's how most see it. But not Luke, the one who wrote these words that we had read for us earlier. Luke assures us it really happened. Did you notice how our reading from Luke started? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Do you see what Luke is saying? This is not Disney World. This is not once upon a time in a land far away. No, Luke says this really happened at a real time in real history. You can really check it out. This is reality. Luke's bothered about reality. And he's not embarrassed about recording the appearing of the angels alongside ancient facts that you can check out in the history books. And come to that, Luke isn't embarrassed by the words of the angels either. On earth, peace to men. And that's because Luke understands these words. See, he knows that the angels weren't suggesting that the birth of Jesus meant the end of war. That really would be Disney World. Now, the angels didn't say, on earth, peace between men. Now, what the angels announced that first Christmas was much greater and far more important even than the end of war and conflict in the world. They were announcing that the arrival of Jesus Christ meant the possibility of peace between mankind and Almighty God. Now, that peace you and I need more than anything. And that's why the angels were getting so excited. Did you hear what they said? The angels said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news of great joy. Good news. Is that how you think of Christmas? Is it the best news you've ever heard? Now, the good news, we don't usually get very excited about, actually. Probably because we don't know the bad news. So I spent 20 Christmases enjoying Yuletide, yet not really knowing what it was all about, not really knowing the good news. Probably because I didn't know the bad news, or at least I wouldn't accept the bad news. And of course, the bad news is very, very hard for most of us to believe. A couple of years ago, friends of mine thought it was time to tell their two daughters that Father Christmas wasn't real. I'm sorry if I've just ruined it for you. But they went on to explain that he's just a man dressed up, that there isn't really a sleigh pulled by reindeer that fly through the air. And while the eldest believed them, their youngest, Daniela, simply would not believe it. "No, Mummy, you're wrong," she said. See, she had heard from so many people that Santa Claus did exist that she couldn't believe the truth when she heard it. Her parents tried to reason with her. "Now, Daniela, you see, a big fat man can't get down a chimney. It can't be true." "No, it is true," said Daniela. "He becomes small to get down the chimney and then he comes big again." "Well, why not? That's no more difficult to believe than one man being able to deliver presents to 2 billion children in one night." Now, you see, we have the same problem. When we're told the bad news, we find it very difficult to believe because we've heard something different so many times from so many people for so long. And the bad news? Well, it's actually worse than you and I could ever imagine. And the angel's announcement, again, gives us an enormous hint as to what that bad news is. Again, let me read for you these words that we had read earlier. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Saviour has been born to you. The good news of Christmas is about God sending a Saviour into the world. And that tells us something about the bad news. Have you noticed how some Christmas presents are designed to drop a hint? And if you give deodorant to somebody, you're probably telling them something about their personal hygiene. If, as you open your Christmas stocking, you get odour eaters, then there's no doubt. That is a present dropping an enormous hint. Now, if you get a present like that this Christmas, you can either take the hint or you can get in a huff and ignore it. But allow me to suggest, if you want to keep your friends, take the hint. Use the odour eaters and swallow your pride. Now, God's gift that first Christmas drops us a hint of enormous proportions. The gift, a Saviour. Do you see the hint in the gift? We need rescuing. We need rescuing because actually we're not at peace with God. But we find it hard to believe because we've been told all sorts of other things. We've been told that God is a big softy in the sky, you know, sort of big celestial Father Christmas, someone who doesn't mind what we do, someone who turns a blind eye to our selfishness. Well, parents tell their children that all the time, don't they? You know what they say? Father Christmas won't visit you if you're naughty. That's what I was told, but I soon came to realise that wasn't true because I was always naughty and he always came to me. Oh, it's too easy to think the same about God, isn't it? So when the Bible says that God actually will punish selfishness, oh, we think, oh, well, when it comes to it, he'll just let us off. He'll give us loads of presents instead. And you see, the bad news is God is not a benevolent Father Christmas in the sky. And actually, when I speak to people doing this job all day long, I discover that's the way people want it. No one wants a God who lets people get away with murder. One of the saddest things that has happened this year, in my book anyway, was the murder of Jill Dando. We had the memorial service for her here in this church back in September. It was a very moving moment. And I think everyone that I've ever spoken to has been shocked by that. You know, the murderer still at large. Now, when we come across those sorts of facts, we don't want a God who ignores evil, who doesn't punish, who just lets people off, do we? The bad news is, that includes you and me as well. See, we need rescuing because we're not at peace with God. We're not his best friends, actually. The Bible really tells us we're his enemies because we run our lives our own way. When we get annoyed, the truth slips out, doesn't it? I'll live my life my way. No one's going to tell me what to do. Oops, it's out. I spent the first 20 years of my life just like that, making up the rules as if I were God, and then ignoring the Lord God Almighty, the one who's given us so many good things. And of course, that is terribly hurtful. I guess most of you have gone to great effort buying Christmas presents. We normally do, don't we? It seems to get harder and harder every year. What do we buy these people that we've bought everything for in the years before? But still, we keep on trying to get the new Christmas present, something they're bound to like, something they'll say, oh, I really, that's just what I wanted. And actually mean it for a change. But still, imagine it this year, that you've gone to all that bother to buy these presents. And I know that when you give presents, you don't give them to get anything back. But as you give those presents, there's not a thank you from anyone. As you hand them over, they just take them from you as if it was expected. When you've sent presents in the post because you can't get to see people, they never bother to write. and they never bothered to ring you up or send you an email. Now, you see, when that sort of thing happens, we get a bit put out. In fact, if we think about it for too long, we begin to get angry. And that's how I treated God for the first 20 years of my life. He gives us so many good things: family, friends, food, laughter, sunshine, every breath we take, and yet we ignore him. And as a result, we're his enemies. And that's why we need rescuing. We're not at peace with God, you see, but at war. And one day we will come face to face with Almighty God, and he will punish us. Now, that's the bad news, but of course we know the good news now. We've heard the angels announcing it. God sent Jesus Christ to rescue us from that. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. God has made it possible to be at peace with him, no longer his enemy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, to mankind. As a way of having peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that brilliant good news? And it's through Jesus Christ, actually through his death on a cross. The story is told of one particular incident during the American Civil War, a war that most of you will know of was fought between the Yankees and the Confederates, often fought between people who knew each other, one village fighting another village. The story is told of a young Yankee, 19-year-old, who was part of a firing squad about to fire his gun at a Confederate who was also in the line there. As he looked down the barrel of his gun, he suddenly realized that he knew the Confederate that he was about to shoot, and he threw his gun down, and he went over to the captain, and he said, I can't shoot that man. Not only will his life be ended if I shoot him, but I know that his family and his wife and his children also, their lives will be ruined as well. I can't shoot him. And so after a bit of discussion with the captain, the 19-year-old Yankee went over to the Confederate, and he said these words. He said, I want to stand where you're standing. And the Confederate took off his blindfold and walked free. The Yankee put on the blindfold and was shot dead. And on his gravestone it says those words, I want to stand where you're standing. That is something of what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he died on the cross. I want to stand where you're standing. You're enemies with God. I'm not. But I love you so much, I will take the punishment. I care for you so much, I'll die for you. I'll make peace between you and Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful good news? That's what the angels were announcing that first Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Through Jesus Christ, it's possible to have peace with God. But you notice that final last twist that maybe some of us don't realize? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. That is crucial to grasp. Peace with God is not automatic just because Jesus died on the cross. Peace with God comes to those on whom God's favor rests. So I guess that's the really big question to ask this Christmas. Is God's favor resting on me? That was why Luke wrote his gospel that we've been looking at in these short moments. He wrote this gospel in order that we may know whether God's favor rests on us. I've got some copies of Luke's gospel. I don't know whether you've had a Christmas present yet. I'd love to give this to you as a Christmas present. We've got loads of them. That's not why we're giving them away, of course. But we'd love to give you one of these so that you can read it and learn about how you can have God's favor resting on you. Would you take one of these? There are some on the table on the right-hand side as you go out. There's some downstairs. I'll have some. Just grab one. Say to me, I'd like one, and I'll know what you mean, and I'll give one to you. Let me encourage you to read through that this Christmas. And then one other thing that I'd also encourage you to do, in the Bibles in front of you and at the end of the rows, you'll find these yellow contact cards. If you're saying, I really want to know how I can be sure that God's favor rests on me, that I can be at peace with God, why don't you fill in a contact card and just tick on the back Christianity Explained, which is our course to help people to think through these things. You can give this to me. I'll keep it completely confidential, and then I'll ring you in the new year and tell you when these courses are starting. Or you can pop it in the red box. Again, it will be dealt with in complete confidentiality. So why don't you do one of those things today as you leave? It'd be terrific if you did. See, until we've understood this, there will always be a missing piece in our life, that peace with God. Now, that may not bother you right now, but it needs to, because one day you will stand before Almighty God. Sort it out, and Christmas will be as exciting for you as it was for the angels. And most importantly of all, you'll be able to look forward to eternity with the Lord God Almighty.